Welcome back to Magnetic North and the follow-up to my sailing saga of 40 years ago. As I said before, time spent on our sailboat Amazing Grace, tied up to the wall by the Coast Guard station in Grand Marais, was all too short. My husband and our daughter, Gretchen, and our guest, a young medical intern and friend, Pam, were on a quest, not a looky-loo sightseeing excursion. We'd crossed Lake Superior from the Apostle Islands in a dense cloud of fog, motoring most of the way until we made land and slipped through the narrow slot into the town harbor. It was merely a pit stop, ice, grub, and shut-eye before the big push to Isle Royale's Washington Harbor. And the July morning brought the clearest skies of the summer, a gift from a major high-pressure system tied in a bow with a 30-plus mile-per-hour wind. And that was just 8 o'clock in the morning. Landlubbers will look out at the big lake dancing to the music of winds like that and crow, "What a great day for a sail, eh?" But anyone who's ever hoisted a sail in such conditions might well differ. Sure, you wouldn't have to touch the motor, but you also would have to seriously consider attaching your life jacket to the rigging during the voyage. Sailboats keel to one side under much less wind power, and that day we would be sailing parallel to the waves, which grew taller with every passing hour. After a brief, too brief for this kid, conference with our sailing friends in their 33-footer, we opted to set out at 9 for the island, sticking as close together as possible. And so we did. I'm guessing that before we'd even passed Five Mile Rock, our friend Pam, Gretchen, and I had consumed the maximum doses of Dramamine, as much to settle our nerves as our stomachs. That 30-plus mile-per-hour wind nailed one side rail of the boat just about even with the water, with no relief. And stomach-lurching drops from the tops of waves to their bottoms rivaled any roller coaster I've ever been on. Up, down, up, down, and never a let-up in that wind. Not that it was boring, anything but. At one point, I looked up at the cabin door to see Gretchen holding her knitting needles in one little hand. They were, of course, aimed right at her eyeballs. Soon after that, I looked across at our sailing friends in their much bigger boat, only to see their mast disappear from sight in the deep troughs of the waves separating our crafts. I will say this, there weren't any flies that day. Thanks to the ferocious winds, we made Isle Royale just a bit after noon, coming up alongside Rock of Ages Lighthouse, still in huge waves. I was instructed to keep my eye on the depth finder and report if we were about to see the wreck of the America closer than planned. 10 feet, I croaked as the famed lighthouse loomed off our bow. That's 10 feet from the tip of the keel, mind you. 8 feet, 7 feet, 5, I squawked. Will you, for the love of Pete, put those blasted sails down? It was less a question than a command. I tend to get bossy when death nears. Well, cheated death again, my husband cried over the roar of the motor as we tied up to the dock, minutes shy of bottoming out. A gaggle of teenage campers stood ogling our two sailboats, oblivious to the conditions beyond the harbor mouth. Well, what a great day for a sail, one yelled enthusiastically. My reply was mercifully muffled by the shouts of my husband and our young physician friend, who'd just seen Gretchen and the pug fall off the bow into the lake. Both dog and child wore life jackets. It was not the first or the last time for such drama. It was 3 more years, though, before I refused to sail on Superior ever again, and another 14 before I got my heart's desire and moved to the North Shore, at long last happily aground at the end of a gravel road. Aside from a few humbling experiences with goats and geese and assorted critters, I've not once since ended my days here with the phrase, "Well, cheated death again." As for Pam, the young woman who gamely made the trip with us to the island, her experience seems to have forced her to question where her life was going, at least now that it was not ending on the rocks of Superior. Within months of returning to the cities, she quit medicine and became a Buddhist monk. I kid you not. It's ironic that having endured forced marches into the BWCA and near-death experiences on the Big Lake, I still felt drawn to this place. And over the years, I've come to find enough to fill my cup in just being here. Not covering kilometers in the wilderness, not circling the lake on the highway or crossing it on water, just being in a place where I can look out the window and see a doe licking her newborn fawn clean, or ride a kick sled at midnight down my snowy driveway under northern lights, or know who's related to who and where to find help when a newcomer needs a plumber or electrician or even to get a skunk out from under their porch. It's not high adventure, nothing Robert W. Service would have written poems about, but for me and for Paul, it was and is much more, much, much more. In fact, it's enough. For WTIP, this is Vicki Biggs Anderson with Magnetic North.